We've been talking both in this service and in the evening service about the prophets Elijah and Elisha, and the names are so much alike that it can get confusing. So let's spend a minute just sorting them out. Let's look at the first slide, slide A. Can you, that's okay, go back. Okay, this was supposed to be a map of the divided kingdoms. We started out, Israel had King Saul, King David, and King Solomon. And as Nathan said last time, we don't necessarily think of these as kings like we have today. Some of them, Saul and then some of the later ones, were really sort of more warlords than anything else. But by the time of Solomon, there was a pretty big territory that the Israelites were in control of. But after Solomon, the two kingdoms split up, and you had Israel. This is Israel in the north. So Israel's up here. Judah is down here. The capital of Israel is called Samaria. And the capital of Judah is called Jerusalem. All right, so, and Elijah and Elisha are associated mostly with this northern kingdom of Israel. There were a lot of other prophets, even at this time, but in this particular part of the Bible, Elijah and Elisha are the most important prophets that we learn about. Okay? All right, so let's look at the next slide. So you can see Saul, David, Solomon, and then the split, and you have, you notice that in the south, in Judah, there are not as many people listed as, quote, kings as there are in the north. And that's because in the south, all the kings were descended from David. And so the people felt a lot more confident in the king being the legitimate king because he was a descendant of David. In the north, they didn't mind just killing each other off and replacing each other. That's why you have so many names in the northern kingdom. So you can see that Elijah is operating at the time of Ahab, whose wife's name was Jezebel, and Elisha is operating after Elijah. Elisha was responsible for making Jehu the king, who these are mostly, in the north, these are mostly military coups. These are generals who come in and kill the king and take over. So that's basically what's going on there. And let's look at the next slide. These are the stories that are associated with Elijah. The way you can keep these guys straight is that J comes before S in the alphabet. So Elijah comes before Elisha, okay? So here are the stories that are associated with Elijah. And we have had some of them, and we'll have some more. But I will just run through them real quick. God told Elijah there was going to be a drought because the people had turned away from God and had started following. Well, they followed the leader. The king and the queen, Ahab and Jezebel, were worshipers of a god named Baal. That really just means Lord. And there was the high Baal, and then there were little Baals under him. So they were what we call a polytheistic religion. So there was going to be a drought. And during the drought, God took care of Elijah, but he fed him. Ravens brought him food. Then he went to live with a widow up in Gentile territory in Sidon. That's in Phoenicia. which is where Jezebel was from. And she didn't have enough food, but God multiplied her food so she'd have enough to look after herself and her family and Elijah. Her son got sick, and Elijah raised him from the dead. And then the story that we had last Sunday night in our sanctuary service, and I'm going to run through that real fast in a minute. It was a contest to see who was God. We'll talk about that. So then, after that, the people confessed, oh, God is really God. Yahweh was the name that God told them to call him. So Yahweh is God. And so then God sent rain. God ended the drought. And Jezebel, as you just heard Shemaiah read, Jezebel threatened Elijah's life. She said, I'm going to get you. And he ran away. So we'll hear all about that that whole story. Later, Elijah came back. He confronted Ahab about Ahab's having a guy killed so that Elijah could get his vineyard. He predicted the death of the next king. When some soldiers came to arrest him, he said, God, burn him up, and God burned him up. And then at the end of his life, he was taken up to heaven in a fiery chariot, okay? That's quite a life. All right, Elisha, next. Similar name and similar miracles. There was a spring at Jericho that was poisoned. People couldn't drink it. Elisha made the spring safe. Elisha is the one that some bad boys came out and said, oh, bald head, oh, bald head. And Elisha called some bears and they killed the boys. He predicted several times he helped the king by predicting a victory. Again, he helped a widow who didn't have enough food by multiplying the oil that she had. Predicted the birth of a son to a woman and then he died. He raised the son from the dead. There was a poison in the stew. Elisha made that fit to eat. He multiplied loaves of bread. There were only a few loaves of bread, and he multiplied those to feed 100 people. He's also the one who healed Naaman, the Syrian general, of leprosy. On another occasion, a guy had borrowed an axe to cut some wood. The axe head fell off and fell in the water, and Elisha said, no problem, and he made the axe head float. This is the guy that Nathan talked about last week who blinded the Aramaic army, and they sent an army to get him. He didn't call down fire from heaven on them. Instead, his servant said, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And what did Elisha say? There's more with us than there are with them. So he showed him the army of the Lord surrounding them. Then he made the whole army blind, captured them, led them into the capital city of Samaria. The king said, hot dog, can I kill him? And Elisha said, no, give them food, send them home. So that's what the king did. He again helped the king by predicting that God would lift the siege of Samaria. God did. His final two things were things that God told Elijah to do, but Elijah didn't get around to them. He predicted the replacement of him, that Hazael would be king of Aram, and he arranged for one of his fellow prophets to go and anoint Jehu as king over Israel. And that was his last big activity. All right, so today we're talking about Elijah. So let's look at the next slide. This is the drawing we had last Sunday night in sanctuary. The guy dancing around there is Elijah, so we've moved back in time. Here's what happened. This is the story that Joy told us last Sunday night. Ahab was king. He was married to Jezebel. They were worshiping the false god Baal. And Jezebel had started killing off all the prophets of Yahweh, who is the God of Israel. And she influenced her husband, the king, to promote the worship of Baal. So that's when Yahweh said, well, I'm going to send a drought. This will teach the Israelites a lesson. Maybe they will realize they've made a mistake. Maybe they'll come back to me. So after 3 years of drought, everybody was desperate. And Ahab was desperate. And he sent for Elijah to come to meet him. So Elijah went and met him, and Ahab said, there you are, troublemaker. This is in 1 Kings 18. And Elijah said, I'm not the troublemaker. You're the troublemaker. You're the one who's led the people astray. You're the one who's influenced them to go away from God. So you're the one that's caused this drought. And so Elijah said, but God's going to send rain. So tell all the Israelites to get together on the top of Mount Carmel, which is up in the northern kingdom, and be sure that all of Baal's prophets come too. So they all showed up, and they set up two altars. Now, an altar is a stone structure on which you put your offering that you're going to offer to whatever God you're offering to, and you burn it up. So, but Elijah said, look, here's what we're going to do. You have one animal to offer. I have one animal to offer. Here's an altar for you. Here's an altar for me. Y'all go first, and you kill your animal, put him on the altar, and pray and tell Baal to send down fire from heaven. And if Baal sends down fire from heaven, then we'll know that he's really the true God and y'all are on the right track. But if he doesn't, then I'm going to pray over my offering, and God, Yahweh, who's the true God, is going to send down fire. So they had 450 prophets. He was only one prophet. So they thought, we got this. This is easy. So they kill the animal. They put it on the altar. And they started praying. And they pray. And they pray. And they hollered. And they screamed. And they said, Baal, Baal, send down fire from heaven. And they danced around the altar. And then they decided maybe Baal, you know, was mad at them, so they started cutting themselves with knives and saying, we're sorry, come on, Baal, come on, come on. And Elijah was just standing over by his altar, and he was saying, you gotta call louder. He's probably on vacation. Call louder. Y'all gotta do more than that. That's nothing. I bet he's in the bathroom. No, this, the Bible really says this. He said, I bet what it says is he has turned aside. But anyway, he's not listening. He's not coming. Y'all got to go holler louder. So by the end of the day, those guys were just falling out. I mean, they were exhausted. And nothing had happened. No response. So Elijah says to the people, y'all come here. And he calls them together, and he puts together the altar of Yahweh that had been neglected. He puts the wood on there. He puts the animal on there. Then he says to the folks, bring some water. So they bring water. He said, pour it on the offering. They do. Bring some more water. Pour it on the altar. Pour it on the wood. Pour it on the rocks. By the time they finished bringing water, there was a little moat filled with water all around the altar. And, you know, Elijah's showing off is what's happening here. And all these prophets, you know, had hollered and screamed and danced and carried on. Elijah just says, after he's got everything all ready, he says, "Dear God, please send down fire from heaven and show these people that you're really God." And whoosh! God sends down fire from heaven, burns up the offering. That's that thing in there that kind of looks like a big hot dog. It wasn't a hot dog, but it burns up the offering, burns up the wood, burns up the rocks, burns up the water. So the people are impressed. And they say, "Yahweh is God. Yahweh is God. He really is." And so then Elijah had him grab all those 450 prophets of Baal, and he killed them all. Now, one of the things you may have noticed when we were going through the miracles was that a lot of the miracles these prophets did were like the miracles that Jesus did, you know, multiplying food, raising people from the dead. And that's why when Jesus said to his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" they said, "Well, some people say you must be Elijah raised from the dead." Well, the only thing is Jesus only did helpful things. You know, Jesus didn't call down fire from heaven. In fact, Jesus' disciples said, "Yo, Jesus, let's call down fire from heaven on these Samaritans." And Jesus said, "No." But Jesus did things that were helpful. He healed people. He multiplied food. He fed people. All right. So now this story I just told you, this is one of the most impressive miracle stories in the whole Old Testament. There are a lot of impressive miracle stories. This is one of the most impressive. Elijah's faith in Yahweh was vindicated. Elijah won the contest. I guess we should say Yahweh won the contest. He was a success. But then Jezebel, just like the scripture you heard read, Jezebel sent him a message saying, "I'm going to have you hunted down and killed today." Now, Elijah panicked. Suddenly, his faith evaporated. Apparently, it didn't occur to him to pray, "Oh God, please save me from Jezebel." I mean, God had done a really impressive thing. But he didn't, and he didn't say, "Oh God, send down fire from heaven and burn up Jezebel." I mean, he just panicked. All of a sudden, the faith that he had to stand there and say, "Dear God, please send down fire from heaven," it was, his faith was just gone. So he became depressed and ran for his life. He forgot all about God's power and faithfulness. He ran and hid and got so depressed that he prayed to die. Now, I can't be critical of Elijah because I know how he felt. I struggle with depression most of my adult life. And while I've never seen God do a miracle as impressive as the one that Elijah saw, I have seen enough to know that God is both powerful and good. When I don't get what I pray for, I can usually see that what God ended up doing was better than I could have thought to ask for. But I think Elijah's story has some things to teach us about depression, and I found these things to be true in my life. So that's what I want to focus on for the rest of the time this morning. So first, Elijah was honest with God. He prayed, "Oh God, take away my life. I feel like dying. I want to die." He didn't pretend like he wasn't depressed, and he didn't pout and turn away from God. Now, we'll see later that he complained to God and told God he was mad at him, and that's a good thing to do, always. If you get mad at God, always tell him. Never just say, "Well, I guess God didn't like me. I'm not having anything to do with God anymore." Don't do that. Say, "God, you screwed me. God, you have let me down." You got to keep talking to God. The very time when you think God is not going to do anything, That's the time to keep praying. Second, he rested. Now, sometimes that's all too easy to do when I'm depressed. Sometimes I'd rather sleep than do anything. But sometimes depression can make people sleepless. So either you sleep a lot or you don't sleep enough. If that happens, at least lie down and rest your body, even if you can't fall asleep. Third, Elijah ate and drank what was put in front of him. God sent an angel who provided food and water. Now, recently when I was sick, y'all were good enough to bring food and Gatorade, and because you brought it, I ate it and drank it. I didn't particularly want to, but I did. So if you're depressed or you have a friend who's depressed, make sure that you or your friend is eating and staying hydrated. Got to drink water. Depression can lead to something a lot worse if you neglect eating and drinking. Right? So we're seeing that Elijah, even though he's in a really bad place, he's doing the right things. Okay? Now, at this point, I should also say that we have an advantage that Elijah didn't have. We have medications that can help with clinical depression. If a person's depression is situational, that is, it's due to grief or it's due to some kind of bad disappointment, sometimes then rest and prayer and the care of friends can be enough. But if a person starts losing interest in everything and doesn't improve, that's what we call clinical depression. And that person needs to talk with a therapist and maybe a psychiatrist about the possibility of medication. I take medication for depression, and I'm not ashamed of it. I also see a therapist. I don't recommend relying on a primary care physician for medication because they're not specialists and they don't know what all is available and what all to recommend for you. And always, 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 if a person is taking medication for depression, that person should be talking to a therapist. Never treat depression with medication alone. Always include talk therapy. Now, here in this church, we have Lauren, who got married this weekend. She has an office here in our building, and she can either see you or she can refer, if you don't want to see her, she can refer you to somebody else. But when you need help, get help. So what else can we learn from Elijah's story? He goes back to the place where his faith began. He goes to Mount Horeb, which is the same as Mount Sinai. It's another name for the same mountain, where God appeared to Moses and laid out the relationship between the people of Israel and Yahweh. Now, we don't have to go to a physical place, but when you're depressed, it's important to think back about how you first came to know the Lord and what it felt like to be sure of God's power and goodness. And you need to remember that. Don't think that how you feel right now is the reality. The reality is how you felt when you were certain that God is good and faithful. That's what's real. Nathan tells us that one of God's main messages to us is remember me, remember me, remember me. Find somebody who has real strong faith. There's got to be somebody in this church who has more faith than you do when you're depressed. Okay? Find somebody who has real strong faith and just ask them to remind you about how God really is. I make sure I always know somebody I can call up and say, are you sure God is real? Did Jesus really die for our sins? Tell me some good news about God. You got to have somebody like that, right? So, one of the main functions of a good therapist is to ask good questions and listen carefully to the answers. Elijah didn't have a therapist. But in the passage that Shemaiah read, God asks a question. What are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here? In response, Elijah starts whining. Lord God, who rules over all, I've been so committed to you. But the Israelites have turned their backs on your altars. They put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me. Okay? If you're going to be friends with me when I'm depressed, you may have to put up with some whining. Notice that God doesn't immediately say, cheer up, look on the bright side. Okay? No. God knows that what Elijah needs is to know for certain that God is real. So here's what the text says. The Lord said, go out, stand on the mountain in front of me, I'm going to pass by. As the Lord approached, a very powerful wind tore the mountains apart, broke up the rocks, but the Lord wasn't in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire came, but the Lord wasn't in the fire. And after the fire, there was only a gentle whisper. You may be familiar with the translation that says there was a still, small voice. When Elijah heard it, he put his coat over his face. He went out and stood at the entrance to the cave. Now, what was the point of all that display that God did? I don't know for sure, but I think maybe that God wanted Elijah to know that although God had the power to do earth-shaking things, as he had just done when he sent fire from heaven to burn up the offering, when he was dealing with a vulnerable and frightened prophet, God was as gentle as a whisper. God wanted Elijah to know that he wasn't all wind, fire, and earthquake. So God asked again, Elijah, what are you doing here? And Elijah gave the same pitiful, frightened answer. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. Everybody's out to get me. I'm all alone. But now that God has made it clear that God is real and powerful and gentle and attentive, it's time to inject a little reality into Elijah's false view of the situation. God said, look, there's some things I need you to do for me. Here's a list. Go get started. And by the way, you're not alone. There's 7,000 people just as faithful as you are, and one of them, a guy named Elisha, is going to help you. Right? And the story goes on to tell us that Elijah takes the list and gets started. And the first thing he does is ask Elisha to come alongside him and help him, right? And you know what? Elijah doesn't even get around to saying who's going to be king of Aram, that's Syria, and who's going to be king of Israel. He leaves that, and Elisha takes over and does that for him. So he does only the one thing. He goes and gets somebody to help him. And after that, he's taken up into heaven, and Elisha finishes the job. So I hope when you encounter depression in yourself or someone else, you'll remember Elijah's story, right? Here they are. Honest prayer, rest, eat and stay hydrated. Find a therapist who asks good questions and listens carefully to the answers. Make a list of positive actions and get started with the help of a friend. Anybody have anything to add? Anybody have ideas or questions or comments? Listen to worship music. That's also very important. Thank you. That wasn't in the story, and I forgot it. What else? Okay. Well, and you got to let people know. If people are going to bring you food and drink, then you have to let them know that you're needed, right? All right, let's pray.